is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained and the greater.
Next on News for the Soul, your spiritual life with Raymond Posch.
Raymond is a life mastery coach, writer, speaker, and host of the Spirituality Beckoning podcast. His book, Awakening to Wholeness, is a record of his exploration into spirituality and his personal awakening. As an avid speaker, his mission is to share his knowledge and help others to awaken to oneness and to make a positive difference in the world. Let's welcome Raymond back to News for the Soul.
Hello to my listeners. Welcome to another show, another episode of Our Spiritual Life. And today, my guest is Roxanne Chapu. She tells me it's a French name, so we're going to learn her more about her in just a few minutes, but I'll give her the basic introduction that I know about her. Roxanne is the founder and chief executive officer of Life Coaching with Roxanne Chapu. She is a life coach, an inspirational speaker, spiritual guide, and energy healer who guides individuals in transition to create lasting, sustainable change in their lives. So I want to hear lots more about what she's doing. And so, Roxanne, if you would like to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing, I'm sure all of the listening audience would love that. And, I think I saw in your bio somewhere that you actually knew from a very young age what you wanted to do. So include that in what you have to say.
I absolutely will. So yes, my name is Roxanne Chapu, and I am a spiritual guide, energy healer, shaman, and I do have several certifications in life and love coaching as well. And my big mission in the world is to send inspiration and to heal people's energy so that we can have more light in the world opposed to the darkness. And I think, coming from a life of shamanism, I'm not sure if you're familiar, however, shamans are not, it's not something you can just become, it's something you're chosen to become. It's something that either a shaman seeks you or that you have an awakening or being called to be a shaman or born to being a shaman. So it's not really something you can ignore when you're in that realm. So I've known since I was a little girl that I was an energy healer. People would naturally gravitate toward me to heal them, to guide them. It was so bizarre. I'd be 5 years old and I'd have adults coming to me asking me questions on where I think they should go on their path and all these sort of things. And I never understood it. And I always had this burning feeling inside of me that I was meant for something great. I just didn't understand what that was at such a young age because I had no one to kind of bounce that ideology against. Everyone that I would, have conversations with, they'd be like, oh no, I don't understand what you mean. Like, I'm going to be a lawyer or I'm going to be a doctor. Like, I don't know what this burning feeling is. And I couldn't really explain it, much further than that because I was so young. And then just, going throughout my life and the career paths that I had chosen to guide cancer patients and to help them along their journey on a palliative state. And that really opened my eyes. And my clients would always refer to me as being their angel. And they'd always come to me for advice and guidance. And I still didn't understand why they chose me to do that when they had so many people in their surroundings that they could have kind of gone to. And they always kind of just came my way. And they'd always give me the nickname Angel. And it always, all throughout my life, everyone was like, oh, you're such an angel. You're my angel. You're my angel. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, I thought everybody did this, I thought everybody was, had this guidance or had this wisdom. I didn't know that I was different in that sense. And then, fast forwarding through life, I went through some traumatic things and I went through four near-death experiences. I had left a very unhealthy marriage. And that is kind of when I had my awakening period where, hey, like, you are meant to heal others. Now it's time to heal yourself so that you can do what you did for yourself for others. And that's your mission. And that's what that burning sensation is. And as soon as I recognized that and I had the dreams to become a shaman, that's when everything aligned and I knew that I was on the right path.
Wow. Yes. Wow. That's quite a story. And it, for me, it's, you know, nothing like what I grew up thinking and feeling. I did not have that kind of experience at all. And in fact, my deep burning spiritual yearning came in midlife. So, but when you were so young and people came to you, do you think that that you radiated something that attracted them?
I think so. And I didn't know it myself. However, like, you know, the souls that I would encounter on my path, they would always say, like, you just have such a beautiful energy, like such a warm, grounding energy. Like, they would just naturally grab, their energy would just naturally gravitate towards mine. And that's what I didn't understand because I was so young. And even being young, you know, we'd go to places and I would feel energy. Like, I would feel like cold energy. I would feel warm energy. I would know instinctually when I was a child if I liked someone, if I felt that their energy was pure and if it was good. It's just something that just naturally came to me, and I just didn't know how to vocabulize it at that age.
Sure. Yeah. Amazing. I'd love to know what that experience is like. I do not consider myself an energy healer at all. I'm very tuned into love and oneness and, you know, that today. But it usually doesn't, for me, it doesn't come from an energy level. To me, it's something else, and I'm not even sure that I can explain exactly what it is. But, you know, so you talk about being a shaman. And so far, I've interviewed one other shaman in my programs, and I know very little about it. I learned quite a bit from her, and I understand that energy healing and shamanism go together. But it seems so different, you know, because I was about to say, I don't think any of the spiritual teachers for me call themselves shaman or talk much about energy. But I did have one spiritual teacher that did energetic work with me. So, I don't remember him talking about shamanism, but yeah, talk about that a little bit more, about how you came to realize that and what your definition of shaman would be.
Yeah, so my roots, my ancestry, I am Indigenous. I am Métis. I am French and Métis. I'm Native. I'm Métis. And shamanism is very prevalent in the Indigenous culture. It's not a religion-based spirituality. Spirituality isn't religion when it comes to shamanism. Shamanism back then, which, you know, has been around for 100,000 years, was more of a tribal community. So that's who they would go for their healing, for their medicine healing, for their energy healing, in order to connect with their spiritual guides and animal guides. And the reason I knew I was a shaman is because for 3 months straight, I had a dream. And in this dream, she was the connection to this woman, it was an elder lady, it was an elder, actually an Indigenous elder, and she felt, the connection to her felt like my grandmother, and she was so nurturing and so warm and so loving, and she was standing at this ravine, and there was teepees around her, and she kept chanting this song to me over and over and over again, and I couldn't understand why I kept dreaming of her, but when I was in this dream, I felt such a peace, and I had such a serenity come over me. And she was calling me to the land. She was calling me to come to my calling and to start on the path of my shamanism. And I couldn't fully understand that. I needed a spiritual guide, my own elder and my own spiritual guide to guide me in the direction, because I came to her and I said, listen, like, I continuously have this dream. And I explained exactly what I explained to you. And she said, oh my goodness. She's like, you're ignoring her call. And that's why she keeps coming to you every night, is that she's calling you to the land for healing. So I automatically, I was like, okay, like, I get it. I woke up the next morning. I had the same dream. I drove to the healing grounds where I know to be healing grounds. And I went there and I literally cried the entire way there. It's a 2.5 hour drive. And the whole time that I was there, I was just bawling my eyes out because I was actually reconnecting with my soul. I can't even explain the experience that came over me. And it was pouring that day. It was like a torrential pour. And I was in the bush by myself in Whoa. These healing grounds. And there was this rock, and I knew it was a healing rock. I felt the energy of the rock, and I saw the rock, and I sat on it. I smudged there. I did a ceremonial, like, cleansing, healing at this rock. It was pouring all the way around me in this bush, and it never, not one single drop hit me on that rock.
Wow.
Not one drop.
Amazing.
Not one drop. And there was no shelter. There was no tree, like, enclosing, like the rock. It literally just, the rain did not hit me. And I was like, oh my goodness. And then all of a sudden I start seeing my animal guides. I start seeing a deer come out, a bunny come out, a chipmunk come out. I was like, oh my goodness, what's going on? And I just, all I felt was pure love for everything, pure love for reconnection to my soul, pure love to the authenticity of who we actually are instead of who we thought we should be or what we were told we should be. It was such an incredible experience. And from that moment, I knew right then and there that I needed to heal everyone to that caliber that was open to that healing.
Yes. And I saw on your bio that you said your mission is in guiding souls. Talk about that.
Yeah. So I think as being a spiritual guide, we're always, everyone looks at the physical realm of who we are, the carcass of who we are. I look at the spiritual side of who we are, the soulful side of who we are, and that's the part that I guide. That's the part that I heal. I don't heal childhood trauma. I don't heal generational trauma. I go beyond that and heal the ethnicity of their soul so that they can be in alignment with their purest energetic form or their soul. To me, what happens in this 3D realm, and this is kind of a shamanism, like a shamanic belief, is that our spirit guides are here to guide us through our journey. They don't care if we have a rough experience, a bad experience, or a good experience. They're just happy that we're experiencing life all together. And when, we question and we have these questions for our spiritual guides or for our higher power, and we're asking these questions and then we're receiving responses that we should be, following a certain path, yet that's not what our spiritual guide told us. Our spiritual guide, indirect, answered the question that we were seeking, but we didn't ask the right question in the right form. And that's what happens to a lot of people. And I find like going through this type of work, like so many people, like just for an example, would ask, should I marry this person? Well, yes, your spirit guides are going to say, yes, of course you should marry this person, but you're not asking the right question. The question you should be asking is, what experience am I going to learn marrying this person? Mm. And when we know that, and the spirit guide responds, or the higher power gives, us the information and says, hey, you're going to learn what infidelity is. You're going to learn what, someone being disloyalty is. So that's up to you now if you want to choose that path. But of course they're going to say yes, because they want us to experience the experience of life.
Mm-hmm.
So when we guide spiritually, we're guiding that spiritual essence, but we're asking the actual spiritual questions to the answers that we actually want and the questions that we actually are seeking, and not the superficialness of the question.
Yeah. That's something that I've really learned just recently, in the last year or 2 years, important it is to ask the right questions. And it's exactly what you're saying. Yeah. So how do you teach people how to know the right questions?
And that's the thing with about spiritual guidance is that you have to teach them what those questions are, how to paraphrase them. Because if we're asking for a yes or no, that's not the questions we need to be asking. We need to be asking, what am I going to learn from this experience? What am I going to grow from? How am I going to grow from this? Because if we're asking just for yes or no questions, we're going to get a yes or no answer when there's way more detail behind the answer. So when we're getting a yes or no, that doesn't really define on the path that we're gonna undergo. So I think that when we realize, when we teach people is that when you're asking questions, you ask an open question in order to receive the response that they're willing to give you, not just a yes or no, am I going to be rich or am I going to marry or am I, yes, you're going to do all those things, but how are they going to come about and what are you going to learn from them and are they going to be sustainable?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, you said something in your description of your coaching. You said, you talked about how important learning the power of self-awareness is for every person, especially for their personal growth. I agree 100% in the life coaching work that I've done, that was the very first thing I focused on, is developing greater awareness. And awareness is primarily self-awareness.
Yeah.
When you really figure out what it is.
I agree.
All about, what's inside of you, what is the universe telling you, et cetera. So talk a little bit about the coaching work that you do. Is it structured in a certain way? Is it all totally shamanic, or do you do multiple types? Or
Absolutely. So I do have several certifications in coaching. I am an enlightened relationship coach. I have cognitive behavioral therapy. I have NLP, neuro-linguistics programming. I have confidence building, transformational changes. The list kind of goes on. I just feel like when we empower ourselves with knowledge, we're able to then even disseminate that information to our clients, and we're able to help them transition even more because we're now able to offer them a different perspective. However, all of my coaching is on a spiritual realm. It's all about spirituality, about them awakening and healing and loving. And I think that when we're coaching at a superficial level, nothing actually sticks in that way. Because if you look, not that counseling or anything of that nature is bad, but it doesn't work for a lot of people. And there's a reason why it doesn't work for a lot of people, because we're not healing and we're not dealing with the cellular issues. We're dealing with cellular issues and we're dealing with the physical state and the emotional state opposed to just the spiritual state. So I think that when we're coaching, it's important to have all facets and to understand all facets so that we can actually guide our clients the way that they should be guided, so that there is sustainable change and that their change, the change that they do make and the journey that they do embrace, that they're not going to fail and that they're going to succeed because they have the knowledge and they have the tools in order to be successful.
I love your approach.
Thank you.
I think it's right on.
Yeah.
You also talk about soul life. In reading your material, just a number of the things that you mention about what's important to you, what you believe, and your approach to coaching, et cetera, you really touch on some very powerful concepts. And I'm sure for you it's much deeper than concept. But one of the things is you mentioned is soul life. Expand on that a bit for the listeners. It sounds fascinating.
So to me, for a soulful life is when we're leading with our soul and we're not leading with our mind. And I think that a lot of us have been conformed and conditioned to lead with our mind opposed to our soul and to the actual energy of where we're being led. And I think this is why a lot of us live unfulfilling lives, and we settle for the lives that we have because we're not living at a soulful, energetic disposition. We are literally vibrating our energy in a mindful, which is mindful is great. And it's, you know, it's very important, as we know, as coaches, to have a positive mindset. However, just having a positive mindset isn't enough. We actually need to follow our energetic guidance. And I think that when we're living at a soulful level, it's not the logical sense that is always impeding with the soulful sense. It's us actually enacting and delivering on the soulful energetic side of who we are. So if I meet someone and I instinctually, energetically know that I don't want to carry my journey with this person, then that's up for me to realize and to actually be cognizant of that and to make a decision based on that and not let the logical sense of me be like, oh, well, they didn't do anything wrong to me. They're kind, they're this and they're that. If our energy isn't in alignment, it's not in alignment. And many of us, we refuse, you know, the information that we're being provided. So I think that when we're functioning at a soulful level, then we're actually allowing our soul to guide us in the right direction instead of just letting the logical mind guide us where we need to be, where we think we should be.
Mm-hmm. So do you teach people to focus on, you know, when you're talking about soul, their soul, Do you focus on them feeling and feeling, you know, emotional, their emotional state, their energy level? Tell us a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that it's really important to guide any of our clients to resonate and to vibrate at a soulful level, opposed to just, you know, even like our emotional state. Like our emotional state is still tied to our physical mental state, right? Because we have a thought, then we have an emotion. It's not just coming from a cellular level. It's coming from a thought. Our emotions are usually enacted by a thought, and then that's what trickles down. And those thoughts usually have been conditioned. And then so we're meant to have experiences or have, you know, like have certain feelings towards certain things because we are told that's how we should feel about them. So when we're coming from more of like the energetic side and we're coming more from the base of our soul, then we're actually realizing that other person is a soul and we're actually being in tune that our energy is either aligned or it isn't. Or, you know, if I'm going to take this job, is it in alignment with my soul? Does it feel good in every part of my body? And that includes my soul, most definitely. So when we're making decisions based on that and not based off fear, because the mind will allow us to fear everything, you know, like we fear change. We're human. Like we come from, you know, the caveman era where, you know, fear was scary. We were going to get eaten by a saber-toothed tiger. So when you think about fear and the role that it plays, if we let our mind get in the way of everything, we'll never do anything based on what our soul actually requires and needs.
Right. Yeah. So I find it very interesting. In your approach, you know, I talk a lot about awakening, and that I think that means many different things to different people. You know, I think one basic definition is becoming more aware, in tune with your soul, and bringing it to the fore, as opposed to, as you say, most people are totally caught up in their mind, thinking all the time, not, you know, trying to be logical and not tuning into their feelings, et cetera. But the idea, you know, which comes first? Do we awaken and get in touch with our soul, or do we really focus on getting in touch with our soul, as I hear you saying, and that, you know, as that becomes permanent, I think I could say it is awakening. Yeah. Do you agree? Or
I do agree, and I think that when we are at an emotional state and we are realizing that there is more to life than everything that we thought initially there was, or we were asleep. A lot of us are asleep. A lot of us don't recognize our potential, don't recognize our gifts, don't recognize the beauty that lies within us. I think that unfortunately, in order to heal that aspect of your soul, most people have to be slightly awakened to do that. Because if we're not ready, if they're not ready and they're not ready to come to the awakening period, the work is going to be inefficient because they're not ready to receive the information. They're not ready to receive what's to come because they're not ready. They're
right.
You can't make someone ready. Sometimes it's, you know, a life situation that happens, a near-death experience, loss of someone, a loss of a job. A lot of those things trigger awakenings because it makes you realize that those things really weren't that important, not loved ones or in that sense, but like a job. Right? When people lose a job and then they go throughout this whole depression and then they come out and they realize like, hey, that was just a job. Like I spent 30 years doing this job and they just discarded me like that. Like that gives people an awakening period. Mm-hmm. Or they go through, you know, a health scare that gives people an awakening period because now they're coming to the sense of awakening that it's not just work 9 to 5, get a house, have a family. Like that's not all there is to life. All there is to life is you actually, your whole journey for your life was really meant and designed for you to find your gift so that you can serve others. That was your actual purpose, not to be a lawyer, not to be a doctor, not that those things don't serve people. Yes, they absolutely do. But are they serving you at the soul level? And if they are, then you are on the right path. And if they're not, then you are not.
Yes, agree more. It's so important to, the whole thing that comes up a lot about finding your purpose, and unfortunately, a lot of people do approach that in a very mental way, you know, analytical way. And it's finding your gifts is a better way to say it. And in doing that, you don't just sit down and with a pencil and paper and figure it out.
You have to journey for it and you have to find your highest self and you have to do the self-mastery in order to attain that and to order to unlock that. It's not something, you know, some people know from an early age and I call them the old souls that they came in the world with wisdom, that they, you know, their wisdom stayed with them throughout their transition or through their ascensional period. However, for the most part, none of us know what we're supposed to do. We go to school and then we're told in high school, you have to choose a college or a university. You have to know your path before you're even ready. Like it's all this push of momentum of conformity and conditioning that people don't even have time to explore who they truly are.
Right.
And it's not by fault of anyone. It's just the societal pressure and it's the societal way of, that's how we build a community. We build communities on the basis of these jobs and these careers, which we're coming to realize now in 2022 that our spirituality and our energy and life coaching, all these things are almost more grand than any of these things that we were ever taught when we were children. Like, when have you ever heard that you can be a life coach and that you can guide people throughout their spiritual journey or throughout their life?
Right. Yes.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I doubt that many parents talk to their kids about life coaching, but who knows? I mean, the times are changing and we may be doing that soon.
Yeah, and the times are changing and our kids are on social media. They're seeing what's possible now. We never were exposed to what was possible before. Like I remember being in school and it was either you could be a police officer, you could be a lawyer, you could be a doctor, you could be a nurse. You know, you can be a garbage man. Like there was only a certain criteria of what you could do with your life. So you wonder why so many people are confused and so suppressed within their souls because they don't know who the hell they are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned social media that way because, I see the downside and the dangers of social media so much. I mean, it's so easy to express all kinds of things and actually develop a self-concept, self-dependency on, you know, what you're hearing from your cohorts or friends or whatever social media is telling you. But, you know, I I do see a little bit about what you're pointing to there, that social media has the potential to be used in a good way as well as in a bad way.
Yeah, and that's,
I hate to see people that, you know, can't look at anything beside their smartphone. I just look at people and say, whoa, you know, there's life all around you. Why are you looking at that? But
yeah. And I think, you know, I'm in total agreement. I am not a social media person whatsoever. The only reason I'm on social media is because of owning a business in this day and age. You need to have social media in order to market yourself.
Right.
However, like social media for me, like the instant gratification, you know, the addiction almost to everyone scrolling and looking at everyone's lives, the fakeness of social media, you know, these perceptions that these people are so successful and so happy, it's so misleading for our youth, mm-hmm. and for ourselves. And the comparison that we do when we look at social media, to me, all of it is toxic unless you're delivering something that is substantial and that helps others.
Yes.
And that is my mission, is just to inspire others. That's what I use my platforms for. It's just to send inspirational quotes and to explain what healing your energy is. Because I think that's the only way that we can reach so many people for free.
Yeah.
And share our message.
You just made me think of something there I want to mention to you and to the listeners. For those of you who are on LinkedIn, Deepak Chopra has a weekly newsletter that he publishes on LinkedIn that is just incredibly valuable. It's called Reinventing Life. I don't know if you've seen that or subscribed to it, but it is wonderful.
I love Deep Chakra.
Everything that I see in that newsletter is just so valuable of teachings. That it, you know, I get more out of that than almost anything else that I read or follow. But one of the things that just came out recently out of his newsletter is he had an article about, it was titled Enlightenment is Totally Normal. Here's Why. And he talks about how you can look at enlightenment in terms of 12 different levels of mindfulness or kinds of mindfulness, like a shift in the sense of self, emotional changes in thought, insight, intuition, vision, creativity, and several more. And he gives a very simple definition of a one-sentence statement about each one of those of what enlightenment would be if you were enlightenment, and then a second statement of you can move towards that level of enlightenment by doing this. And you know, it's a very simple statement, and it's just, that was, I thought that was so wonderful. We make it so hard, but you know, he's trying to make it simpler.
And that's what I mean, it is spirituality and your connection to yourself and enlightenment and awakenings it's not rocket science. It's very simplistic. It's everyone else that's trying to make it complicated. And I think that's the point of the spirituality and awakening, is to remove all the complications and to remove all the noise and to remove everything that makes your life complicated, is to have a simplistic life and to understand the meaning of life.
Right.
And not the meaning of things, and not the meaning of what we think should be important, but what we actually truly feel and know to be important.
Yes. Yeah. You know, I think the one of the big things that's really on my mind these days is that most people are just caught up in life and the busyness of life and the
rat race.
There's so much negativity of life, right? When you pay attention to news and all of that, it's kind of frightening in a way. It builds fear. You know, you said that it's so easy to be caught up in fear, and we really, you know, I think one way of looking at what we need right now is to get people back in touch with their soul, as you're saying. But, you know, and one way of saying it is you should be looking for how to be happy, you know, how to be mostly happy in life, you know, not necessarily so caught up in how many dollars you're making or, you know, stepping up the corporate ladder. You know, are you serving others really? You know, you might be in a corporate job, but many corporate jobs make it very hard to serve others.
No, it's to serve them.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think when we come from the ideology of knowing that everything around us for the majority is fear-based and that is toxicity, when you look at the news, when you listen to the radio, when you hear certain music, when you look at certain movies, what we allow in our receptors and that perception that we allow to affect our mirror neurons is highly, 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 highly important. And when people, you know, come to me and they're like, I have so much drama in my life. I have like so much negativity. I'm like, well, what are you subjecting yourself to? What kind of TV shows are you watching? What kind of music are you listening to? What kind of affirmations are you saying to yourself? What are you telling yourself? And then what are you watching on the news? Because everything on the news, like, I don't know about where you're from, but here it's 95% negative and maybe a 5% happy story. That's
right.
All you get.
Right.
Like how, and then you wonder why people are so depressed and so miserable because all around them just looks like doom and gloom.
Right.
And we wonder why people aren't happy and we wonder why they're so suppressed is because all of these things intertwined and enmeshed into one thing is like a cocktail of disaster.
Right. Exactly. You know, I've been talking a lot of recently about recognizing your thinking, you know, and in particular, your fear-based thinking, and fear-based being not just fear, but of course, but everything that we call negative, anger, disrespect, lack of kindness, all of that kind of thinking that we see so much in the news, and shifting, recognizing it first, and you have to you know, recognize in yourself where that is coming from and honor that, you know, that you have those thoughts and emotions and then choose love-based thinking.
Yeah. And that's the thing is that you don't have to be in the reception of anything negative. You have a choice. We all have a choice to what we receive in our life. We all have a choice to turn on the news. We all have a choice to watch that movie. We all have a choice to do those things. And I think that when we minimize the fact that we have choices in order to do this, then it's no wonder that people feel the way that they feel. And I think that when you take your power back and you realize that everything and every thought that you have is a choice, and you know, experiencing anger and frustration, like that's not an unhealthy thing. We do have over 27 emotions. It's okay to feel every single one of them. Just don't stay entrapped in them. Don't stay stuck in a negative feeling because that's not going to serve you. That's not going to move you forward. And I think that when we think of us being divine and being divinity and being divine beings, we shouldn't be holding on to hostility and resentment and hatred. And we wonder why humanity is at the place that it's at is because we literally allow these things to be the platform of who we are.
Yes. That is such an important thing that you just said. Well, most people don't delve into it and explore their inner life and their thoughts at this level. And therefore, yeah, they do allow negativity in their life. So yeah, we're talking about the same kind of thing. We need to help people recognize this and take power to change what they are experiencing.
Yeah. And like, if you have a relationship that's not serving you and you have a job that's not serving or fulfilling you, it's time to make a choice. You don't need that job and you don't need to be with that person. Those are all choices. Is the road going to be challenging? Yes, of course it's going to be challenging. Is it going to be worth it? Heck yes, it's going to be worth it. So when we start evaluating and dissecting our life to actually see if we're actually gaining fulfillment from what we're doing and the life that we are living, when we're able to truly ask those raw and deep questions and are, you know, accepting of the responses that we're going to receive in return, and then we act on those things, that's when our life becomes beautiful. That's when our life becomes amazing, because you can't have one, you can't have a wheel of life and have eight things really great with your life and two things are total crap, you know, like that's not going to work. That's not going to push you forward. That's not going to fulfill your soul.
Yeah, but that's where most people are. Yeah, Michael Beckwith, who happens to be a spiritual teacher that I had not had exposure to, and I recently, you know, a couple months ago, completed a program of his that was just wonderful. And he talks about eight structures of life and the importance of paying attention to all of those, and that you can be, you know, at a higher state of awareness or enlightenment. You know, he breaks spiritual growth down into four big stages, beginning with, you know, victimhood, manifester, channeler, through me, and then at the highest level, it is, he calls it being consciousness, where you're experiencing life fully as me. And yeah, all, that is so valuable to learn that kind of thinking and learning the power to take control of your life. And as you say, that's through choices.
Choices. Yes. And we all have choices. And when we realize our power and we know that we have this incredible power within us, the trajectory of our life changes significantly. And we are now on a path of incredibleness. And that scares a lot of people. That scares a lot of people to do deep self-reflection and to ask those deep riveting questions, because that means that they have to affect change in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not want to be in the marriage that they once agreed to. They may not want to be at the job that they once had. So all those things have a major, major effect. And I think once you realize that, yes, it's just part of your journey, but you don't need to stay in that part of your journey if you know something on the other side is going to be even more beautiful for you and in alignment with who you truly are.
Yeah. I love what you're saying. Yeah, it begins with knowing, I've said this in so many different programs, and it's so good to come back to the Wayne Dyer statement where he said, we are spiritual beings having a human experience.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, and I keep coming back to that, or, you know, or you say something equivalent to it that brings me back to it. That's important to know that we're spiritual beings, divine beings.
Divine beings. And we have forgotten that. And, you know, when you think about how we came into this world as infants, as babies, we were pure. Our soul was pure. And then we came to this point where it was societal pressures, and it wouldn't have mattered what era we were born in. There would have been conditionings no matter where we came from. And I think it's just to be able to honor who you truly are and still live in this life and know the dynamic that's happening around us, but to know within you that you have this peace and you have this clarity within yourself, that you don't need external forces to validate that. And I think that we're so beyond that in this world of, you know, we all judge each other. Everyone's judging everyone. Everyone's trying to validate. Everyone needs validation. And I think that we are forgetting that we are not the judge. We are not to cast judgment on anyone. We are not here to validate anyone. You need to validate yourself. And the judgment There does not need to be a space or room for any type of judgment. We are not the judges. We are not the creator.
Right. The important thing to know, I think, or one thing that's valuable is, you know, God doesn't judge.
So why are we judging?
Right. So why are we judging? Yeah.
And who are we to judge someone else's journey?
Yeah.
And who are we to judge our own journey? Our journey is our journey in order to become the person that we're meant to become. And if we can hold true to that and honor that and look at that as a blessing, then we can actually discover who we are.
Roxanne, I love your approach. And this is so valuable for my podcasts. And you probably don't know, but I changed a podcast name a few months back. I forget when it was, but I changed it to Our Spiritual Life instead of, at one point I called it Spirituality and Consciousness. And I really wanted to begin focusing more on how people in their spiritual lives, and it is important to talk about our spiritual lives together, to really hear people talk about how you do that, how you take control and change your life to be in line with the spiritual being that you really are. Yes, you're having a human experience, but and one of my spiritual teachers, Mary Morrissey, talks about a horizontal dimension of the finite world that we're in, the human experience, but there's a vertical dimension of the infinite being that is within us. Yep. And how you focus on that more and take the lead from this, your spiritual self more, your soul.
Yeah. And I think that's the point of this journey. And the journey isn't our carcass. Our journey, our wisdom, and our knowledge, everything that comes to us isn't within our carcass. It's within our soul. And it's within, and it's things that bring us forth to the next life. No matter your religion, we are energy. And when we heal our energy and we allow our energy to vibrate where it is, imagine having a light and not allowing the light energy to disperse where it's going to disperse, it's going to burn out.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have the room to disperse its energy. It doesn't have the room to have that. So I think that when we think of our energy within us, it's the same philosophy. If we don't allow our energy to release itself and to be at peace, then we wonder why so many people have so many illnesses.
Right.
Because we're containing that energy.
Yeah.
And we're not releasing it. And then we're holding emotion on top of that energy. And now it's creating illness within our physical carcass.
Right. Yeah, I've not heard anyone use that word that way. Because, you know, instead of our body, it's a carcass.
It's literally a carcass.
Yeah. And you said something earlier about, you know, we take the lead too much from other people, especially in our medical health. You know, we listen to doctors who really, most of them know nothing about the holistic nature of our being, and they're telling us what pills to take, et cetera.
Well, we're denied our energy. They don't even want to admit that we have this beautiful energy till now they have no choice.
And that's so true in our spiritual self and our holistic self as well, that we can take power back, you know, and as you say, that does frighten many people because they haven't learned the foundation of that and, you know, and how important that is. So, yeah, we need teachers like you and I and many others who are sharing this message. You talk about authentic love of self. Say a few words of that. We're rapidly running out of time, but
yeah.
Say a few words.
Absolutely. I think it's the most important thing is to love ourselves authentically to our being, love our pimples, love our wrinkles, love our cellulite, love who who we are and who we became in this life. And I think that once we accept who we truly are, we have this weight lifted from us, because now then we're able to dig down to the soulful level, because so many of us are entrapped in this physical level that we are comparing ourselves at a physical caliber, that we're not actually able to embrace our internal, because we're so wrapped up in our mind about our external that, you know, I'm too fat, I'm overweight, I'm this, I'm aging, I'm that. They don't even have time to focus on the internal aspects of the beauty of who they truly are. So I think that when I'm talking about authentic love, is to have that enlightened love for yourself, to know that you are an enlightened being. How you came to be on this earth and what you look like physically is absolutely radiant. No matter what you look like, no matter what age you are, it's television, it's social media that makes you think that you're ugly and that you don't fit in, when you do. You're absolutely beautiful, no matter who you are, men or women. You're a beautiful soul. You came here to be a divine being, and nobody is here and nobody should be judging you. In addition to ourselves, we should not be judging ourselves. We should be embracing the authenticity of who we are. And we're not meant to look like others. We are meant to look like ourselves and to have uniqueness. And we say that, but we don't actually feel that.
Right, right. What I hear you saying is that it's more than self-acceptance. It's getting to a deeper knowing about ourselves as a soul.
Yeah, a deeper knowing. And no matter what your journey, no matter scars you have, no matter what stretch marks we have, those things carry our character of our life for this journey. And we should be embracing those things, and we should be honoring those things that we even got to experience life, and that we're actually living life. And we're so blinded that the fact that we are alive, we are here to help others, we are here to love others. And when we discredit that by focusing on everything we hate about ourselves and not genuinely loving ourselves, we are discrediting our journey.
Mm-hmm. You use another word that I love. I think you described yourself as a soulpreneur.
Yep.
but you also put it in the context that I think there are a growing number of soulpreneurs in the world that, are waking up to their soul and wanting to serve others.
I think that's exactly
what that word is all about, right?
Exactly. And everyone's like, what's a soulpreneur? I'm like, I don't know. I made it up. But my ideology behind it is that a soulpreneur is someone who runs their own business, who runs on their soul's mission, and is not in it just for the monetary gain, is in it to serve others and to live at their soulful life and to impact others' souls. And that to me is a soulpreneur. And that can come in any other facet. It doesn't have to be coaching or spiritual guidance. It could be anything that you know that you are radiating at a cellular level when you're accomplishing your soul's work. And that to me is a soulpreneur.
Hey, would you lean to the left a little bit? I want to look at your...
Oh, the chair.
There. It disappears on me, but it says, feel, love, awaken.
Yeah, free your soul.
Free
your soul.
Free your soul. I love it. You hear that, everyone? Feel,
love, awaken, and free your soul.
Oh, did you get that? That's beautiful. That is fantastic.
That's my vision. That's my mission.
Roxanne, I have enjoyed this conversation so much, and I it's likely that I'm going to ask you back, because there's so much more that we could talk about and that I want to talk about. And the reason is I want people to hear not just from me, my ideas and my words about things. I want people to hear from others who, you know, really have something to say and share about what we can do in life and be in life. So thank you so much for doing that. You've spoken so eloquently throughout this conversation. Any final words you would like to add?
I would just like to say that I hope that everyone realizes their beautiful light within them. If you need any assistance with that, I am more than happy to guide you on your journey. And anyone can reach me through my website, through Facebook, through Instagram, through LinkedIn, under RoxanneChapuis.com.
Say the website again.
It's RoxanneChapuis.com.
And that is spelled C-H-A-P-U-T.
That's right.
If you are realizing that you need a spiritual coach, I recommend that you contact Roxanne through her website. All right. Thank you all for listening today. Have a great day and a great life. God bless you all.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.